We're doing our class on dating. We're short on time, so we're going to have to work very quickly. The norms we're going to discuss are primarily correct for Israel and the Tilumi world. I'll give a few small examples. You go to some countries, and the norm is that you come before the date or on the first date, and you meet the parents, and you go through this whole interview. And before you ask a girl's hand for marriage, you meet her father and ask his permission to ask her hand for marriage. It's very nice. Go date a Moroccan girl and ask to meet her parents before the date. They'll think you're off your rocker. Like, what's going on here? Why do you want to meet us? You're dating our daughter. Okay, a small difference, but can make a huge difference. You ask her father's hand in marriage, he might say, you're not man enough. What's wrong with you? Why are you asking questions? You sign a ksuba, let's take the ksuba contract in the United States. You write for the girl, $180,000, that's a lot of money, that's very nice. You come here, you come to a Moroccan wedding. I was there when one of our students tried writing that, and the girl's father, now mind you, the girl was over 40, like she didn't have so many suitors, and her father was there, and he thumped his hand on the table and said, what does he think, he's buying a donkey? You know, that's all he writes for my daughter, $180,000.
Okay. Is that not a lot?
I'm saying in his mind it wasn't enough. He wanted to hear $1 million, $2 million. You know, my daughter here. My daughter here. Okay, he was super incensed at us. Okay, so there are norms. There are social norms. In different communities, there are different norms. In different societies, in different countries. What we're going to discuss is the norm for Israel, the Tilumi crowd, and I can't cover other things because I don't know them. Very often guys call me from other countries and I say, ask the Shadchanim there what's considered normal. There are major differences when people get engaged. What's considered normal? What do you do at the engagement? What do you do after the engagement? What gifts you give at the engagement party? What gifts you give at the wedding and after the wedding? These norms change and people expect you to work by the norm of their society. Certain Sephardi cultures and have this norm that when you get engaged, so the guy's mother brings a ton of jewelry for the girl. And if you don't do it, then they're all insulted. Other places have the norm that she's supposed to show up with a basket of the finest soaps and creams and perfumes and a bathrobe. Now, if you didn't know this, you're like, okay, you would have told me you needed a bathrobe. I would have gotten you a bathrobe. Like, what's the big deal? Well, to them, it is a big deal. They're going to do their end of it. They want you to do your end of it. So wherever you are, you got to get the social norms.
But
let's.
How do you know what social norms to do?
You gotta verify. Don't ask the girl. You got to ask people in that culture, wherever you're going to be. You can ask a rabbi who's there. You can ask. There are very often today, it's a big deal. There are a lot of people doing counseling. So. People who are in the know, if there are young couples, you know, they should know these norms change. It's not like they last. Every 10 years, the norms change. So you need someone who's been there in the past 10 years. I'm out of touch. I got married more than 10 years ago. So that's it. I'm an old fogey. I'll do the best I can. I'm saying there are new norms that I'm not even aware of. Okay, so now that I've disqualified myself from giving this class, let's continue. It's one of the things you should never do. Okay. I recommend, when I interview people, I ask the guy and the girl if they intend to be Shomer Negiah. I think that that's something that has to be clear at the onset. Otherwise, it could be very uncomfortable for both parties. Obviously, I believe every person here should be striving to observe that halacha, but we said there's a fine line between learning what I'm supposed to be doing, and when I'm dating, I'm dealing with who I am. Who am I and who is she? When we go dating, so the expectation is you're not going to get drunk. You don't belong in a bar, and I don't believe it is proper to buy an alcoholic beverage. Get a cup of coffee, get a cup of tea. The halacha discusses the idea of drinking alcohol as being something that's more intimate. It belongs between married people. It doesn't belong on a date. You go out for dinner. Okay. whatever. Here in Israel, the norm is that on the first few dates, you don't take out a girl for a meal. Now, that's the norm in parts of society. Other parts of society, you're going to be expected to take her out for a meal. How you know? That's where you got to talk to the shadchan. I joked when I was in America as a rav. So the first girl I dated, I was coming from the U.S. So I asked, you know, I understood you go out for a meal. So I took her out to some place around here. And she was regular datilumi. So I asked her what she wants. And she says, oh, nothing. So I was like, you know, we're sitting here, we got to order something. So she says, go ahead. So I didn't know what to do with myself at that point. So I ordered something. I said, okay, I did. Now what about you? She said, I'll watch.
What?
I said,
all
right. No, she was like, I'm not hungry. I'm okay. It's fine. I was the one who was abnormal. It wasn't accepted in that society. So I was doing something unusual. She was like, you know, a cup of tea is fine for me. Yeah, that's what people usually do when they go out. But you could imagine like what a dunce I felt like. I'm supposed to be talking to her and suddenly they're serving me spaghetti and meatballs, which is a bad idea on a date. You know, it's dripping all over you. And she's not even eating. Maybe we're both getting dirty, right? So, right, on your beard. I had a shorter beard then. It was easier. But anyways, say you want to know you're doing the same thing. So that's something you could run by the shadchan. Let's take a step back. The first phone call. What do you discuss on the first phone call? So, the first phone call is sometimes awkward. It doesn't have to take longer than 2 minutes, but it's nice if it does. The average American tries asking, "What are your hobbies and what are your interests?" and it doesn't work by phone. That really doesn't work. Very often, it's good to discuss the one thing you have in common, which is the person who put you together, how you know him, how I know him. That's a very innocent topic. If you're one of those people who likes talking Lashon Hara, just be aware that that's her first impression of you. Like if you're going to say some snide comment about the person who set you up, so you're laughing. I had a girl do that to me. It was very interesting, our first conversation, and she's making fun of the shadchan. So I was praying I wouldn't have to date this girl. My prayers were answered there on the spot. Like 5 minutes into the conversation, she says to me, "You know, I'm wondering if we really match." I said, "Yeah, I wonder what gave it away. I was wondering the same thing too." She said to me, "Well, why don't we talk for another 10 minutes and we'll save us both a date." And that was great. One thing I owe her. I never met her again. You know, fine. I never met her, period. But that's not what usually happens. Usually it's understood, right? Usually it's understood that if you agree to date a girl, the first conversation is about setting up where you're going to meet. So you don't just say, "Hi, where are we going to meet?" You have a little bit of a conversation. We live in a day and age where people have cell phones, so it's much easier. Try to set up a place where you'll be able to find one another. Do not show up late. Do not show up late. That means leave early. Get there early so you will be there on time. If you're not a gentleman in any other area of your life, in this you have to be a gentleman. Sometimes there are dogs, sometimes it's cold. I once dated a girl who showed up to every date late, and by the fifth date she apologized. She said to me, "You have to understand, I've been dating for 5 years now, and I always end up waiting in the cold. I sometimes wait 45 minutes for the guy who's coming late out in the cold. I swore I'm never waiting again. And every time I come, you're there." So I sort of got the hint that you show up. I said, "We agreed on a time. That was the time I was there." So she said, "Okay, but most guys are not like that." So guys, don't be like most guys. It's a terrible thing. I was so upset. It's a chutzpah. A girl standing out there in the cold waiting for you. I believe you should make up a place where she could get away from the elements. Set up a place where she could stand indoors. She shouldn't be out in the rain. She shouldn't be out in the cold. Set up an indoor place, a place to meet. Very often guys make up the corner down the block. That's great. And what happens if she's late and you were on time? Why should you be stuck out there? So try to set up a place where you could be indoors. Make sure you have her number. She has your number. It's disrespectful to ask her to call you back. The social norm is, at least until you're very comfortable with one another, you should be calling her. It's not nice you get a girl's number. "Hi, it's Yaakov. Give me a call when you can. Bye." No, you got her number. That means you call her that day. If someone set you up with a girl, the expectation is that if you got her number now, then by tonight you've given her a call. Don't wait a day. It's not right. She's waiting for your phone call. You got a girl's number, give her a call. Someone tried to set you up, you say thank you very much. One of the worst things you could do is get a shadchan not to like you. So even if you're not interested in the shidduch, you should tell him, look, I don't think it's for me, but I appreciate you took the time to care and call. Sometimes people are nasty to shadchanim. Often shadchanim are nasty to people. Sometimes people are nasty to shadchanim. Often shadchanim are nasty to people. You guys got that? Unfortunately, that's the way it is. But you don't have a choice. You know, at the end of the day, you should be responsive and you should be nice to them. Learn from it. And when you set up shidduchim, be nice about it, be honest about it, be fair about it. I have nothing else to say. It's unfortunate. I remember the first time someone asked to set me up. He comes to me and says, you don't mind if I set you up with a... I have a girl for you. She's not smart. This was the line. I have a girl for you. She's not smart. And I'm thinking, okay, so that's for me, right? Okay. What'd you just tell me, right? Try not to get insulted when people tell you lines like that. It happens. I'm sure he didn't mean it that way. But I walked away feeling like, okay, genius, she's right? Free. She's still free. I don't know who she was. I never went out with her. But learn from the experiences you have. You'll be a better shadchan when you have a chance. When can you start being a shadchan? Today. When can you start being a shadchan? Today. There are girls you know. There's no reason you shouldn't set them up. You dated a girl and she's not for you. The first thing you should do is look around and see, who is she for? There's no reason that you shouldn't set other people up. There was a girl here, she got married eventually, but by the time she got married, she had set up 7 of her friends. She had gone out with guys, they weren't first. She said, but it's good for this guy, it's good for that girl. And she set them up. There's no reason you shouldn't set other guys up with the girls you date. You should not be schmoozing about the girls you date. I have a friend who's still single, and there's a girl that everyone swears is for him, but his roommate dated her. And his roommate made a mistake. When he came back, he kept telling him, you know, she's a nice girl, I just don't think she's too smart. And this happened a few times, and finally he broke up with her. After he broke up with her, he said to himself, but she's really good for him. Now he's right on both counts. He's a super genius, and his roommate's like an average guy. And the girl's not too bright, but she's perfect for his roommate. But his roommate swears he'll never date her. And everyone who knows both of them says, it's a good shidduch. So this shidduch has been attempted. It's already over half a decade. They've been attempting to set the two of them up. This guy's already almost in his mid-30s. It's a figure they've been trying to set him up since he was in his late 20s. And he's not willing. It's beneath his dignity. If his roommate said she wasn't smart enough, so she wasn't smart enough for him, but she is for me.
Has he gone out on a date with her?
Nope, he won't date her.
Okay.
Now, I can't blame him. I don't think he's right. You blame him. I don't.
He hasn't even done it one date.
Okay, fine. So he trusts his roommate. I'm just saying it's not right. What did his roommate do talking about this girl? You're dating a girl. It's no one else's business. You have no right talking about the girls you date. If it's relevant, you have to consult. Some consult. But to go and violate a girl's privacy by talking about her with other people, that's not right. So you're going to go for the first phone call. The first phone call doesn't have to be fireworks. Don't judge based on the first phone call. Phone conversations are elusive. They are inaccurate. Sometimes a girl sounds very bad on the phone, but you'll meet her and you'll see it'll go great. Some people aren't good at starting conversations on the phone. Some people aren't good at all in having conversations on the phone. Doesn't matter. They can still be wonderful partners. Don't judge based on the first phone conversation. It's completely irrelevant. Unless, of course, you come across what I came across, where she's making like snide comments about people. Okay, that does reflect something on a person. But if it's just that the conversation flows more or less, etc., it's irrelevant. Come with an open mind to the first date. Come with an open mind to any date. If you've agreed to date a girl, come with an open mind. Our story goes 12 years ago. A girl who's good friends with my wife dated a guy twice and then agreed to a third date. She calls us up and says, you know, I agreed to a third date, but I've just decided I'm supposed to go out on the date now. I'm supposed to meet him in a half hour. I'm supposed to leave the house now. And I just decided that it's not for me. Should I call him up and tell him not to come to the date? So I said, no. You made up the date, a third date. Go out on a third date. He already traveled 2 hours to meet you. He's coming from out of the city. You're not going to call him up now and say it's pointless. Go. Are you 100% sure it's pointless? No. Can there be room it can work? She says, yes. I said, okay, if it can work and you already made up yes and he's already traveled the distance, go out there and have the date. Okay, we hang up and then I call her back. I said, wait a second. She said, I can't, I'm late for the date. I said, right, you're going to be 5 minutes late. We're going to talk for 5 minutes now. I want you to stop and think about it. If this can really work, I want you to come with an open mind. Don't go to that date thinking, it's over, it's gone, or it can't be. I'm just going to placate him. Think about it. Come with a positive outlook so this can really happen. I circumcised two or three of their kids already. They're married. So you got to come with an open mind. You're coming to the date. You're going to date the person. Come positive. Sometimes it's hard to come positive. You've already dated 70, 90, 100, 300 girls. I dated over 50 girls. And it's hard. You reach an age where it's hard to believe in it. You've been set up with so many girls that were far from the mark that it's hard to believe in it. So I say, take a nap before you go on a date. Show up well rested. Take a shower. Shave. Wear clean clothing. I know we're at the end of the winter, but you might end up dating in the winter. So I made this mistake numerous times. I'd iron the sleeves of the shirt and wear a vest over the rest of the shirt and end up in a place that was broiling hot and I'm sweating bullets. She's like, why don't you take off your sweater? Or worse, I'd iron just the collar and wear a full sweater. And then she's asking, why don't you take off the sweater? What am I supposed to say? So learn from my mistakes, guys.
Don't do shortcuts,
right? Iron the shirt. Show up dressed nicely. And if you need to take a rest, I would take a piece of chocolate to suck on my way to the date to be able to liven up my spirits. Meaning sometimes you don't have koch. You have no reason to believe in it. So you got to... Sometimes I'd go listening to music, humming a song. You got to show up positive. If it's going to work, you have to be positive about it. No one wants to marry a grouch. So you feel grouchy? Take a nap. Get up smiling. Take a shower. Take your time. Show up to the date on your right foot. Best foot forward. Don't bring flowers to a date. When you're ready to get engaged, then you'll get her flowers. It's not acceptable in most cultures when you're starting to build a relationship to show up with gifts. Again, if you're in a different society, check the norms. But from what I know, generally, that's not acceptable. I think it's in poor taste when people buy one another gifts, especially items of clothing, especially when you don't yet know if you're marrying the person. Very often people think it's very serious. Okay? When you're ready to get engaged, then there's enough time to get gifts. If you really want to get something, get her flowers for Shabbos. But even that, I would put way down the road. Do you call and wish someone a good Shabbos? So, depends on where the relationship's holding. If it really took off, you can do that. Usually, we leave it for down the road when it's far more serious. How much do you chat, SMS, email, phone conversations? The less, the better. It's unreal, it's unrealistic. It's not reflective of a real relationship. The example I always give is you're talking on the phone and she's on her end of the line. Okay, so I'm going to play out her end of the line. You tell her we had the most amazing thing today. And she goes, really? Tell me about it. Wow. She's biting her nails. She's polishing her nails. She's checking her eyebrows. She's checking her emails. Wow, that's amazing. You did what? She's checking the emails like, what happened at the stock market?
Yeah, that's what your wife's going
to
do
10
years after you're married.
I'm married 10 years. You can't tell me that. No. You want to know who the person is? Talk to them face to face. You want to get a misconception? Invest time in phone conversations, Skype, and email. Email is a little bit better than all the other stuff. Email is like writing letters. But phone conversations are lethal. I've seen people marry through relationships that were developed over the phone. and they suddenly discovered they had no clue who they were marrying. There were things that were so different than what they thought. Now, you always have surprises when you get married, but with phone conversations, you really don't understand the person. There's a tremendous amount we say in body language. We sense body language, even if we don't know how to verbalize it. There's a lot we understand about body language. I'll tell you a quick story. Dr. Tversky was in his first day in rounds on the floor. A patient was driving him crazy that he needs a shot. He tells the nurse, give him, and he gives a fancy Latin name for salt water, which is a placebo, it's a fake. And the nurse calls him aside and says, I'm sorry, doctor, I can't. And he argues with her, and she argues back, and she tells him the head of the floor gave her orders not to give that. Now, even though he, as he had been interning, they had given that, now suddenly when he was in attending, he was a doctor on the floor, he couldn't give that. So he goes to the head of the ward and asks him, why is there such a rule? And the head of the ward says, look, the guy over there, the psychiatric patient, he trusts you. And when you're going to tell him you're giving him a placebo, as much as you're going to invest in making it believable, as you put on a stern face and tell the nurse to administer, using whatever Latin name it was, he didn't say saline, obviously. He said something more complex. So it sounded like he was really giving the guy a cure. What happens then is the guy's mind registers you're lying to him, because his mind subconsciously understands the body language. So there's a contradiction in his mind. He hears you one way, he wants to trust you, and he senses you're lying. And he doesn't know how to rectify the two feelings he has. He doesn't even know how to put it into words. But you have then lost the trust of the patient. From then on, as a doctor, when you're dealing with a person's mind, you have lost the most valuable tool. As a psychiatrist, what you need is the person's trust in order to help them develop psychologically. So that's why they have a rule. In that hospital, they had a rule, no placebos, because people sense body language. The same is true when you're dating. Like it or not, you sense what's really going on. And when you're on the phone, you're losing all of that. You're getting a totally different conception of the person. So I say, even if you have to travel, sometimes I tell guys, travel to her job or her school and accompany her home on the bus so that you can talk face to face if you're both so busy. So make it work that way, but have real communication, face to face. Okay, date one, what do you discuss? Try not to get political. Try not to get extreme, even if you have extreme views. Try to remain on normal, solid territory. Talk about where she comes from, who her family is. I recommend before you date a girl, you check out her Facebook page. A lot of interesting information. Very often guys will tell me they're about to get engaged to a girl, and I say, give me the name, and I look it up on Facebook, and I say, do you know she has, her parents have gone through 3 marriages? No. Do you know she has 4 sisters, 2 in this country, 2 in the U.S.? No. What do you mean, no? You've been dating the girl for 3 months, right? She only told me about 2 of her sisters. Maybe you should know about the 2 other ones, too. You know she has a brother in prison? No. Why don't you talk to her? I've been talking to her, right? Why don't you do a little bit of homework? Before you agree to date a girl, I recommend you do research. We said call up her references, call up her friends, check out her Facebook page. Ah, you're not her friend. Okay, so very often today people let you see a lot even though you're not their friend. You can really see a lot even though you're not their friend. Okay.
Would it be a good idea to friend someone?
Would it be a good idea to friend her? Well, not unless you're dating her yet. Once you're dating her, that's a tough call. I would say yes, but unfriend her the day you break up. Not a day later. The day you break up, you should unfriend her. If you won't unfriend her the day you break up, then don't friend her the day you start. Because girls will look at your Facebook page when you want to be set up, and they'll see all your girlfriends and all your comments back and forth. Okay, says a lot about you. I think that on a date the cell phones should be off. Chances are no one told her that, but they still should be off. You should be respectful of the girl, respectful of the time you're spending together. In my opinion, the cell phones should be off. Where do you set up the first date? So I think that a location has to have a few components. Number one, no yichud. Should be a place where there are people around. Don't go off to a place where it's only you and her and who knows what's going to happen. Halachically, you should be in a place where there are other people present. I once dated a girl in Shaarei Tzedek's fourth floor. She was working there, and we dated on the fourth floor. And the date ended up going late into the night. And suddenly they closed the doors on the fourth floor. And the fourth floor doesn't really have too much patience. It's all offices. That's the entrance. It's the main entrance at earlier in the evening. And then we're sitting there and suddenly I notice I haven't seen a soul in an hour. What's going on here? So you could say it's no yichud. Anyone could show up any minute. But no one was showing up. So I asked her, what's going on? She said, at this hour they shift the entrance to the second floor, the emergency floor. There's no, on the fourth floor, there's no one coming now. The offices are closed, everything's closed. I said, then you know it's yichud, we're not allowed to be here. She says, why? I said, well, that's the halacha. So she thought I was saying something funny. She got up and ran. You know? I said, what did I say? All I said is, let's go somewhere else. So she was ahead of me. She said, so come after me. And she's flying down the steps to the second floor. Okay, fine. So we went to the second floor. We continued our date there. But halachically, you got to make sure.
I'm saying, in that situation, do you just walk like a normal person down the stairs?
Yeah, Miss Heather will leave. I'm not sure it's either. There are elevators where anyone can show up any minute. Technically,
you take an elevator or you take the stairs?
We took the stairs. Whatever. I don't. She took the stairs. I followed. I'm saying you're right. You don't want to stay in such a situation longer than necessary. But say there, it happens. I went on a hike with my wife, and we went down Leafdown. So every time I'd been there, people came. We sat down for a picnic, and I noticed after 10, 15 minutes, no one's shown up to this part of the hike. So we went back in, 5-minute walk. We were where people were present. It happens, you try to stay where there are people, you come to there are people, and suddenly you discover no one's coming anymore. So you walk back to where there are people.
Is it a factor that people can come?
If it's realistic. But if you start getting the feeling no one's coming, like I was feeling there on the fourth floor in Shaarei Tzedek, like, suddenly notices no one's coming, In all honesty, she knew the place. She could have said it before me, I was wondering. I didn't realize what's happening.
So,
whatever.
I guess she's trying to impress you.
Impress me?
Okay. So she knew that was going to be empty. She wanted to be with you.
I don't think so. You're talking about a hospital. You're not talking about like... But I'm just saying, sometimes it happens, you suddenly realize you're in a place where this isn't where I should be, okay? So you walk away, you walk to the next place. You should try to avoid it. And if you know, I'll tell you in all honesty, on a hospital, I'm not really sure it's yichud when you're in the main lobby and there are windows all around you and people mistakenly come to the fourth floor because they don't know that the fourth floor door is closed. Technically, people could show every minute. What? Do cameras count? That's a good question for a Thursday night for a longer discussion. Coming back to our... So we said, number one, shouldn't be yichud. Number two, I think you should have a place where there's a restroom around. Number three, it should be a safe place. Safe, I mean safe for a girl, not for a guy. What do I mean by that? You make up with a girl to date at Gan Soccer. The only problem with Gan Soccer is that there are many dogs that are let loose in Gan Soccer. So girls are always jumping. Guys sometimes aren't scared, but girls are very often scared by dogs. So that's not fair. There's a place in Gan Soccer. I was dating a girl. She said, don't walk there. I said, why not? She said, there are needles there. So that's not a place to set up a date with a girl, right? There are all kinds of places that are not so safe. You don't want to be there. So we said safe, we said halachic, we said I think there should be a restroom around. I think it's nice to have a place where you can buy a drink. Sometimes it's hot, sometimes the girl's coming from a distance on a bus. By the way, you should go out to her, first date at least. You should be heading to her, I would say from the first couple of dates. If by the third date she hasn't offered to come meet you halfway or meet you by you, that tells you something about the girl. Okay, so the first date, we discuss family, we discuss where we've been studying. If you're dating an Israeli girl, very often they like talking about what they've done for Shirut Leumi, National Service. You can discuss where you've been coming from. I don't think it's a good idea to divulge too much of your dark history. It's none of her business. If you have a medical issue, so consult with a local Orthodox rabbi. Don't be quick to put everything on the table. Girls talk. Guys also talk. Guys shouldn't talk. Girls shouldn't talk. But people do talk. It was very interesting when I was dating my wife. Somehow, the girls I dated the longest, I don't know if my mother-in-law got hold of them or they got hold of her, but suddenly they were telling her all about me. It was interesting to see that Dafka, the people, the two or three girls who I had dated the longest, where there was the longest relationship, they were there. They were ready to say a lot. So, okay, we got married anyway, so it couldn't have been too bad. But you'd be surprised how people are going to talk about you. Like it or not, we had a guy here that a girl really got upset at him. So she went on Facebook and started going through all the contacts, all the mutual contacts, and gave him a bad name. People talk. You should be a mensch always. And even if you're going to break up with a girl, be a mensch. And don't divulge all your secrets to the girl, because people talk. You'll date, your relationship will develop, and then there's room to think when to share with her which personal issues. She doesn't have to know all your dark history just because you started dating her. You started dating her, you start talking about the regular things, who you are and where you're coming from. You have other issues, that can wait for later. Yes, someone, yes.
But you also said to call like her references and friends. So
for sure. I don't expect they will divulge her secrets. And if they do, okay, you lucked out. You'll know more.
References and friends, like call up a friend and ask her how she is as a person?
Yeah, what can you tell me about her? What can you tell me? How do you know her?
Is that not socially acceptable? Or like,
in most places, it's socially acceptable that you call references, you find out about a girl.
Well, like, you don't make it sound like a job. Like, you find out what is she like.
What can you tell me about her? I like to leave it open. You never know what you'll hear. Do you want to know about her before the episode or after the episode? So you'll say, I want to know both. And later on, you'll try to find out what episode. Be smart. Don't ask on the spot. Well, I'd sort of like to know both. Well, before the episode, she was... Okay.
Won't they call her and tell her?
They will. Everything you say will be quoted to her. Yes. So be careful what you say.
You're better off not talking to them.
You don't have to talk. You have to listen.
Oh, okay.
You call up and say, can you tell me about Sprintzy? And they'll say, Sprintzy whom? And you'll say, Sprintzy Fireglass. I was told you're a best friend. And she'll say, oh, that's Sprintzy, sure. And then they'll start telling you. And then you say, can you tell me a little bit more? You'll say, can you tell me some more? And they'll say, I really don't know how to do this. And you'll say, okay, tell me a little bit about her personality. And then, didn't we go through this? We didn't discuss this, how to check out references?
No.
We discussed it. Yechiel remembers, sure.
Sure we did.
Were you here for the last session?
Last year?
Ah. Does anyone else remember that we discussed this?
I was there for that also, but I don't think anyone else was.
We don't have like time for anything.
Okay.
Right.
Really?
Okay, in a nutshell, when you call references, keep the questions general. As long as you can. Keep going over the same thing. And in different words, you keep trying to ask the same question without going into specifics. Can you tell me what she's like? What type of person she is? Can you describe her personality? Can you tell me a little bit more about her? And then you ask, do you know what she's looking for in life? Do you know what her aspirations are? How well do you know her? How long do you know her? Can you tell me a few stories to demonstrate? And you always ask, can you give me two more references? Because the references she gives, well, she's prepared them. Very often the girl will say, I'll get back to you on that. That meaning they want to prep the next guy. Make sure you don't tell him about this, that, and other thing. Okay. Say that. If you're smart, you always ask for two more references. At the end of each conversation, you say, you know, you told me a lot. That was great. It's always good to hear another vantage point. Can you give me the name of two more friends? Don't trust rabbis, don't trust teachers. You could talk to them, but take what they say with a grain of salt. Me included. We have a very limited vantage point. We only see the person in a very specific setting. Their friends, they know much better. The secret to finding out a person is talking to their friends. That's how you'll know about a person. I would not ask specific questions when you can avoid it. If you have to, ask specific questions. But like Yehuda correctly pointed out, whatever you ask will be fed right back to her. You hang up the phone with her friend. A minute later, she's calling her friend and saying, someone called me about you. He sounded nice. He didn't sound nice. Whatever. But they're going to talk about you. It's not nice. It's not right. But that's what people do. Okay. No, we're short on time. We really should have ended already. So we're going to give us 3 more minutes and then we'll call it quits till next time. We will have time for other things. 3 more minutes. So we said the first date, you keep it relatively innocent. You don't go into things that are too controversial. Don't pry when there are things she doesn't want to talk about. At the end of the date, you walk her to. Okay, here's a social norm. Here in Israel, in the Dati Lumi crowd, you walk her to her bus stop. You wait there until the bus picks her up. You should make up before you conclude the date what time tomorrow you can call her. Yes, you concluded the date today. You call her tomorrow to speak about whether you will continue or not. And at the end of the date, you should give her that impression. If you want to be a really nice guy, then you tell her at the end of the date, I really enjoyed tonight, and I'll be happy to continue. I'll call you back tomorrow, and you let me know what you think. Don't expect the girl to answer you. She won't. It's rare that a girl will tell you on the spot she wants to continue. Yeah, you'll have to wait in suspense. The advantage of doing it that way is that she walks home on cloud 9. If you're dating a girl that's over 22, it's always recommended to do this, because once they're past the age of 22, very often they have a certain element of insecurity, and when you've told them that you've had a great time, you're the exception, because most guys dump them after date one. That's the way it goes. It's a guy's world. Guys get offered about 20 dates a week, and girls get offered about a date a month. So, unfortunately, girls are being dumped right and left. I think it's a mistake. I think you should usually give a date a second chance, unless things were horrible, unless it's 100% clear you're not marrying the girl. Usually, first dates don't tell you too much about the person. So if it's only semi-reasonable, the logic dictates you date a second time. You want the girl to be positive about the second time, so you let her walk away from the date feeling positive. The best way to do that is tell her, you know, I really enjoyed getting to know you, and I would like to date you again. I'll give you a call tomorrow. You'll let me know what you think. And then she walks away confident. She knows you're interested. And very often that also builds confidence in the relationship. That'll allow her to think positively about you. Because what happens if she walks home is she starts protecting herself. I can't think positively about me. Maybe tomorrow he'll tell me he can't stand me. He doesn't want to continue. So her natural inclination is not to allow herself to develop positive thoughts. If you end the date and tell her, look, I had a great time. I'll be interested in continuing. I'll call you tomorrow. You let me know what you think. So that gives her that positive feeling and the capacity to think about you positively. When you call tomorrow, call at a normal time. And the first thing you do whenever you call a girl, recommended whenever you call anyone, is you ask them, is it a convenient time? I personally like to ask, am I on speakerphone? But you should definitely ask if it's a convenient time. Could be she's standing next to her boss, her mother, her ex-boyfriend. I don't know what, but it might not be a good time to talk to you. So it's always recommended before you start talking to ask if it's a convenient time. And if not, then when would be a convenient time? You call up the next day. Let's say you did not tell her what you think. If you call up the next day and you're interested in continuing, then you should go first. Don't call her up and say, well, what did you think? And she'll say, well, I thought it was great. I'd love to go out again. And you say, shucks, I didn't. That's not nice, okay? You start by telling her what you think. You know, and if you have to break up with her, then you have to be a gentleman. It is wrong to say anything personal. You have no right to give her grades and tell her, you know, I thought you were like this and like that. That is not what it's all about. The question is, do we match? If you think you don't match, then you tell her, look, I really enjoyed getting to know you, but I don't think we match. She might push you to a corner and say, well, why not? And you'll say, I don't know how to put it into words. I'm not sure exactly how to express it, but I don't think we match. Do not answer that question, as annoyed as girls are when you do that. Do not answer that question. It is wrong. People are sometimes scathed for life because of things that they are told when people break up with them. You have no right to do that to a person. The person has to walk away feeling positive. They should walk away from the date feeling positive. They should walk away from a breakup feeling positive. So when you break up, you have to be positive and tell her positive things about her. Tell her how much you enjoyed getting to know her and how much the date was insightful and interesting. And you, unfortunately, you don't think that you two match for marriage. You're not grading her. You're coming to a conclusion about whether you two are compatible for marriage. And when you think it over, you shouldn't be thinking, is she this, that, or the other thing? You're thinking, are we compatible? Yes, inadvertently, you will think about what type of person she is. But it's not fair where people think they have to give grades to one another. If she decides that she's going to tell you what's wrong with you, you could say, thank you very much. It's been nice knowing you. I wish you well. Goodbye. Do not stick around and walk away completely scarred. Many a guy has walked away from a breakup so scarred that they couldn't date for months and sometimes years. Just like guys could be cruel and insensitive, well, girls can also do that. You don't have to go through that. It's wrong, and no one has a right to do it to you, and you don't have a right to do it to someone else. You guys had questions, but we're short on time. Yeah, you could say, "Ani lo choshev she'anachnu matimim." I don't think we match. Not "Ani lo choshev she'at matima li." I don't think you match for me. That's not. The question is, do we match? Not do you. You don't live up to my standard. No, that's not what we're saying. Yes, Gilad. My recommendation is not to get engaged in under 40 dates. I'm willing to compromise on 30. Less than that, please don't invite me to the wedding. Yes. Rav Listman disagrees with me, and for a decade now I've been respectfully disagreeing with him. If you want in the next class, we'll discuss why I recommend 40 dates. You can quote me on it. I've argued it with girls. Rav Listman says less. Rav Listman says you can get engaged in less. I don't think it's fair because how many people want us to continue on dating?
Come on, two people voted for this class.
How many people want us to continue?
That's totally Liam, guys. I sit through this class for you guys to vote first. Come on, two people voted for the class. There's 15 minutes left, bro.
Okay, so Bezrat Hashem next Sunday we'll continue. Gilad, remind me to start with this point, how many dates date before you get engaged? My recommendation is 40. And we'll discuss next week why. Yeah, God willing, I hope we'll all make it. 40. Yes, 40, yes. And then can we postpone your question for next week? Is that okay? Both of you? No, okay, what's your question?
No. The question is, you have to call directly the girl after you go out.
So I want to give you a broad answer depending on the society you're in. In the Dati Lumi crowd, it's generally accepted you call her directly back. But we'll discuss that Bezrat Hashem more next week. Okay.